Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour and your host, Don Amici.
This is Don Amici bringing you the grand and glorious greetings of all your Chase and Sanborn friends. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Donald Dixon, Robert Armbruster, and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra.
My dear dream man. Dear.
What was that, Charlie?
It's nothing. Just reading my mail. Continue, Mr. Amici.
Okay. Greetings, too, from our guests, the graceful and gracious Ginger Rogers and our pianistic pal, Alec Templeton.
My cute little Charliekins. That's what it says there. Life is so dull without you. How true.
Charlie, please, will you? We hope you will all enjoy our show and that throughout the week you remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn.
And I can't wait until next Sunday to see you again. These 7 days will seem like a week. Oh, I know just how she feels, poor dove.
Yeah, now listen, McCarthy, what's this all about?
It's a letter. It's an epistle. It's what you call a billy duck.
Can I read it, Charlie?
Oh, no. But you can smell it if you want it.
Perfume, huh? Ooh, smells good.
Exotical is the word.
Uh-huh.
It's Udi Muna Manicura. One sniff and you swoon.
Well, I swoon. Putting two and two together, I suggest that your girlfriend, Dottie L'Amour, has written you a love note from New York, huh?
Excellent deduction, Sherlock Amici.
Thanks, Charlie. Does Dottie have anything to say to us?
To you?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does, yes.
Oh, she does, huh?
Yes, yeah. In a very formal P.S., you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, sort of came as an afterthought, you know, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she remembers you vaguely.
Oh, vaguely.
Yes, she sends a regard and says she'll be back in the next week.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Well, she had to fill up the page with something.
Yeah, she couldn't fill it up saying something to you.
Yeah, she says she's listening tonight, you know, and stuff like that.
Well,
very formal, mind you.
Yes, I get it. Okay, Romeo, we have a duet to do now, mind you.
Okay, Amici, let's do it.
Yeah, duet, Robert. If there's a gleam in her eyes, time she straightens your tie, you'll know the lady's in love with you.
If she writes you each day, though she has nothing to say, it means the lady's in love with you.
And when your friends ask you over to join their table, but she picks that faraway booth for two.
Yes, sir, that's just how it stands. You've got romance on your hands because the lady's in love with you. And she says, let's say Bardo, you'll know the lady's in love with you.
If she has met your old flames and she remembers their names, it means the lady's in love with you.
And if she phones but she doesn't reverse their charges, like all kinds of lady friends often do.
Well, sir, it's just how it stands. You've got romance in your hands because the lady's in love with you. If you're ever looking for a song that has an unusual lift and pick-me-up in its melody, a good, hale, hearty, and healthy He-Man song, just look for the name Vincent Humans on the copy. As evidence, Donald Dixon sings Vincent Humans' Hallelujah from Hit the Deck.
I'm recalling times when I was small in light and free jubilee days. Old folks praying, everybody swaying, loudly I chanted my praise. How I sang about the judgment morn, and of Gabriel tooting on his horn. In that sunny land of milk and honey, I had no complaints, while I thought of saints, So I say to all who feel alone, hallelujah, get you through the darkest day. Satan lies awaiting and creating skies of gray. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, help the jewel of blues away.
Well, Charlie, tell me all about it.
Hmm?
Tell me all about it.
About what?
Well, you know. You don't have to be so modest.
Wow.
Well, how were the graduation exercises?
Oh, you weren't there, were you, Bergenhout?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, then I could speak freely, then.
Charlie, you've had so much trouble with your schoolwork.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I can hardly believe that at last you have graduated.
Oh. Are you sure you weren't there?
No, I wasn't.
Oh.
It's been such a long time, you know, since I've been to a graduation.
Huh?
I say it's been a long time since I've been to a graduation.
Yeah, me too.
Well, tell me all about it, Charlie.
Well, it's... You sure you weren't there?
No.
All right, I'll paint it up for you. Well, picture if you can. Young lads of public school number 6. Marching up to get their diplomas before they go out into the world to carve a ditch for themselves. Niche. And I tell you, my young friend...
Oh, I see. You're quoting the speaker.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who made the speech? The principal?
No. We had a judge.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we had a judge. Judge Clayton T. Eptide.
Yes.
He spoke... Yes, he did. He sure did. What a tonsil athlete he was.
Well, what did he talk about?
Oh, about an hour too long, I guess.
Well, I mean, what subject?
I don't know. He didn't say.
Oh, he didn't say. Well, weren't you listening?
Yes, but I couldn't understand him.
You couldn't understand
him? No. He had nothing to say, really, but he said it very convincingly.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
You know, I think his oratory got in the way of his words.
I see. Well, maybe you were sitting too far back to hear him.
No, I was close enough.
Well, how close?
About an inkwell's throw from his whiskers. As ink flies.
I see. Well, Charlie, you wouldn't have tried...
Oh, no, I didn't. No. But if Skinny hadn't held my hand, Ebtide would have been a bluebeard.
I see. Well, Charlie, aren't you going to show me your diploma?
Oh, it was so impressive, that ceremony, Mr. Bergen. Oh, I could go on talking for hours.
Yeah, but what about the diploma?
It was so impressive.
What about the diploma?
You certainly have a one-track mind, haven't you? What about...
I want to see it.
Okay. Here it is.
Oh, yes.
That's my diploma.
Mm-hmm. You know what we'll do, Charlie?
What?
We'll have your diploma framed, and we'll hang it alongside the one I got from Northwestern University. Won't that be nice?
Yes, that'd be nice. If you could do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of you, Charlie. Let's read what it says.
Huh? All right, yeah.
Hollywood, California.
That's here.
Yeah. June 23rd, 1939.
That's graduation day.
Yes. This is to certify that Charles McCarthy...
That's me.
Yeah, that's right. That Charles McCarthy has completed the prescribed course of studies.
See?
At Northwestern University.
Yeah, I knew there was something I forgot to rub off.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, Charlie, I don't know what to say to you.
good. So you were left behind again.
Yeah.
This is a shock to me.
A shock? You should be getting used to it by now.
Charlie, can you give me one single reason why you should have failed to graduate again?
Well, during the examination, they made us change seats.
I see.
That's very important, you know. Very important. I sat behind the wrong guy.
And you copied the wrong answer?
The wrong answers? Even the date on my paper was wrong. Gee, what an illiterate dope that kid was. Can't trust nobody, I don't know.
What was the test about?
It was history.
And you failed in history?
That's me.
Yes. I can't understand it.
That's my trouble, too.
All right, all right. Charlie, if you had spent less time with Skinny Dugan and a little more with Schuyler Van Snort, it might have helped.
Schuyler Van Snort.
Maybe you would have acquired some of his habits.
Uh-huh.
Schuyler is studious.
Sure.
He's honest.
Yeah.
And he's well-mannered.
Are you through?
Yes.
Well, he flunked, too.
Oh, he did. I see. I'm beginning to think you'll never get out of the eighth grade. What is it, Charlie? What is the reason for it all?
Loyalty, Mr. Lurgan, loyalty.
You seem to be getting worse instead of better.
Yeah.
You're not using your brains. What's the trouble with your gray matter?
I don't know. The old gray matter ain't what she used to be.
Well, hello, hello, Charlie, my boy. Hello, Mr. Bergens.
Hello, pal. I meet you, Gazzola.
Yeah.
Well, Gazzola, you certainly look happy today.
Oh, Mr. Bergen, I'm so happy like a loon.
You mean like a lark?
Oh, what's the difference? He's bird happy. Let it go of that.
What's the cause of all this joy, Gazzola?
Well, Mr. Bergen, what do you think? You know my little boy, Giuseppe?
Yeah, well, I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, well, this week he get us a diplomat.
A diplomat? Well, you mean a diploma.
That's a diplomat, yeah. Yeah. Bring home a diplomat to my little Giuseppe. He's a granulated.
No, not granulated.
Disintegrated.
That's it. That's right. My little Giuseppe's an incriminator.
Yes. Of course you mean graduated.
Yeah, what's the difference? Yeah. He's a kind of a diplomat.
Yes, I see. Well, congratulations, Gazzola, on your son's graduation.
Oh, my little boy. My little Giuseppe.
Yeah, little Giuseppe. The kid's 18. Little Giuseppe.
Hey, look, Mr. Bergen, I'd like to ask you some things.
Certainly, Gazzola, what is it?
Well, now that the my Giuseppe, he's a got it, what's this to mean, this diplomat?
Oh, well, Charlie can explain that.
Yeah. Yeah, a diploma, it's a sort of a pardon from the eighth grade. Yes, it shows that you've paid your debt to society and a public school number eight.
Oh, that's what she is, huh?
Yeah.
How about you, Charlie, my little boy? You got a diplomat to do?
I got one, but it's retouched.
Charlie, what does your eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Crosshopper, have to say about this?
Oh, you mean Picklepuss?
Yes, yes.
Oh, she's resigned herself to the fact that we will grow old together.
I see.
Oh, not Charlie. I'm a surprise. I'm a surprise at you. You mean you flop again?
Yeah. Well, don't rub it in. Gazzola.
Now, what are you going to tell all your little friends, Charlie, huh?
I have prepared a statement for them, Gazzola.
Yeah, what?
To anyone who cares, I wish to thank the dope who sat in front of me during examination and my teacher for making it possible for a third term.
Something new is going to happen.
Yes, tomorrow families in this part of the country will enjoy a delicious new treat. You'll see a new package in thousands of kitchens. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the wonderful new silver package. Try it tomorrow. Join the thousands of people who are enjoying their first taste of this rich, freshly roasted blend. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, the kind in the silver package. That silver package is your guarantee of rich, high-quality coffee. And the date on every package shows you it's freshly roasted. And that's important, freshness. Coffee is so much better when it's fresh. It's a perishable food, you see, like milk and eggs. Stale coffee may spoil and taste bitter and rancid. But freshly roasted coffee is always rich and delicious. And we make sure that you always get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee freshly roasted. Our rapid fresh food delivery system rushes this fine blend fresh from roasting to your grocer. And the date he gets it freshly roasted is marked right on the gleaming silver package. And with that date, you're sure of freshly roasted coffee. Coffee that's wonderfully rich and mellow. Friendship in a cup. And yet, Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is economical. There's absolutely no increase in price. You get this magnificent blend, freshly roasted, in the improved new silver package, but you don't pay one penny more. So try Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Look for the gleaming silver package. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
We polish up our warmest words of greeting and put a new shine on them to welcome our charming and vivacious guest, Ginger Rogers. Ginger is currently working on the picture Bachelor Mother, soon to be released by RKO. But just for this evening, we've whisked her away from the movie studio to be with us. It's my pleasure to appear with her in a sketch written by Edward Helwig, based on a story by Richard Harding Davis. Presenting Ginger Rogers in The Criminal Type.
It is an evening in early June. A full moon is just showing itself above the tops of the trees on the Pamerton Estate, transforming the lake which lies beyond into moving silver. In the grotesque shadows cast by the hedges and boxwood surrounding the terrace stands Wendy Pamerton. She is talking to her butler.
It's a beautiful night, isn't it, Matthews?
Yes, Mum.
But this place gives me the creeps.
It's the quiet, Mum. You'll feel better when your father and mother arrive.
Two more inmates for the cemetery.
It's a very exclusive neighborhood, Mum.
But why do I have to be the one they're excluding? I don't know anybody and nobody knows me. I might just as well move into an isolation ward.
The Van Stuyvesants live quite close, Mum.
For all their hospitality, they might as well live in the Malay Peninsula. No wonder the bird who lived here offered Dad the estate so cheap. He probably couldn't wait to exchange it for a nice, noisy mausoleum.
It's a very beautiful place, Mum. If you're looking for the beautiful.
Well, I'm looking for a little excitement. Matthews! What's that? What is it?
There's nothing to be alarmed about, Mum. It only means that a convict has escaped from the prison.
The prison?
Yes, Mum. It's just out of sight on the other side of the lake.
Are we in any danger?
Oh, no, not at all, Mum. Only the last time one escaped, he came here.
Here?
Yes, Mum. He circled the lake. The house isn't far from the highway, and the shrubbery is thick. He hid right in those bushes, Mum.
Right there?
Yes, Mum. If you look carefully, you can probably still see some of the bloodstains.
Oh, bloodstains?
Yes, Mum. There was a bit of shooting when the prison guards trapped him.
Oh!
I thought you might like to know in case it happened again, Mum.
Oh. Well, Matthews, do you really think it could happen again? That someone might play a return engagement right in those bushes?
It's quite possible, Mum.
Oh, don't be silly, Matthews. No one else in this exclusive neighborhood cares to come and visit, so I don't see why the boys in the prison should be so anxious. Anyway, he'd be a marked man. His uniform alone would give him away, unless he got rid of it. But then he'd be in his underwear. They do wear underwear, don't they?
I've never looked into that, Mum.
No, that wouldn't be in your line, would it? Is dinner ready yet?
It will be in a few minutes, Mum.
Well, I'll go in a few minutes then. Don't bother calling me.
Very well, Mum. I'll be inside if you should need me.
Alone at last. Ain't it awful? The smoke from my cigarette floats through the air, while visions of convicts I see everywhere. What's that? Where are you? Well, say something.
Hello.
What are you doing behind that hedge? Well, come out from there.
I can't.
You can't? Why not?
Well, I hate to say it, but I'm in my underwear.
Your underwear? Your underwear?
Yeah, I know it's a bit peculiar, but, you see, I was swimming in the lake, and they stole my clothes.
They? Then there are more of you.
Yes, my friends. But they've gone, double crosses.
And left you to fight your way out alone.
Sort of. You see, we were on a scavenger hunt, and our team was supposed to get the water pistol that was hidden out on your float. Oh, we chose lots to see who'd get it, and I lost. And when I got back, the car was gone, and so were my clothes.
What's that in your hand?
Well, that's the water pistol. It's not much good now.
Why did you come here with that story?
Well, I thought you might be sport enough to help me. You couldn't loan me a suit of clothes, could you? And a car? Just to get home. I'll send them right back. It's all right. I live right near here.
You don't have to tell me. I know it.
Oh, then you know who I am?
I haven't the slightest idea who you are, but I know what you are.
Well, I don't blame you for not believing me, seeing me like this. But that story I told you is the truth, and I do live near here. I'm one of the Van Stuyvesants, Donald Van Stuyvesant.
And I'm the Queen of Sheba. Why didn't you tell me the truth? Why didn't you tell me that you're the escaped convict that siren is screaming for? Why don't you tell me you swam across the lake in time to reach the highway? Why don't you admit you destroyed your uniform to avoid recognition, hoping that I'd give you clothes and help you make your getaway?
Have you been overworking?
Oh, you haven't fooled me a bit. I'm calling the police. They'll help you. Right back into your cell.
You can't do that, please. Think of my family, the notoriety, the newspaper pictures. Why, I'd look like an underwear ad.
Yes. Well, maybe they'll put you on the sports page.
Look, isn't there anything I can do to convince you I'm telling the truth?
Nothing. You're definitely the criminal type.
Then you're positive I'm the escaped convict?
I'm positive.
Well, then you're right. And this thing in my hand isn't any water pistol. It's a Colt automatic.
You mean it's real?
You don't think a convict my age would be playing with a water pistol, do you?
Well, don't point it that way. It might go off.
I don't mind.
But it's pointed at me.
That's why I don't mind.
You mean you're going to kill me?
Well, do you want to die?
Oh, no. I'm young. I've got a mother, a father, a Pekingese.
Well, then get me some clothes, a suit and a coat, and get the car ready for me. All right, now march. Into the house, and not a peep out of you.
Well, suppose somebody sees us coming. What'll I do?
Well, tell them you're showing the house to a new tenant.
But I'm the new tenant.
If anyone sees us, you won't be. Well, how do I look in this butler's uniform?
You look surprisingly presentable, except for that prison haircut.
Prison haircut? I got that at Princeton.
The car is over there in the driveway.
Oh, that's fine. Look, I'm sorry I caused you all this excitement. Now that you've calmed down, I'd like to tell you that you have very beautiful eyes.
Never mind that. Get in the car if you're going.
Well, now that I've had a chance to get a good look at you, I don't believe I want to. Did anyone ever tell you were a vision of loveliness?
My mother warned me about people with visions a long time ago, and I think you were the type she had reference to.
I know we haven't been formally introduced, but I wonder if we couldn't forget formality just a little bit and have you tell me what your name is?
I don't remember. The sign fell off. Now, if you don't get
along...
You know,
for a beautiful girl, you're not very sociable.
You seem to forget that you're an escaped convict.
Well, perhaps you'd be more congenial if...
If you come a step closer, I'll scream.
With joy, you mean?
In self-defense.
Oh, now, do you really think you have to defend yourself from me?
You bet I do. That gleam in your eye isn't astigmatism.
Well, maybe it's love.
I don't care if it's indigestion. You come one step closer and I'll scream.
Oh, you're daring me.
I warn you.
What's the matter with you? I didn't move a step.
I know you didn't, but somebody else did.
Who?
There's a man over there. Why, that bush. He's wearing a uniform. Is it a convict?
Well, isn't the Iceman.
He's got a gun.
All right, you two. I ain't got much time. They plugged me at the wall. I'm taking that car. I gotta get out of here. And I'm taking that car.
If you prefer, there's a bicycle in the basement.
Lady, if you want a bullet in your belfry, just keep it up. This zebra suit ain't very becoming. I need some clothes, too. You.
Who? Me?
Yeah. Take off those clothes.
I just got them.
Never mind bragging. Take them off.
He will not take them off. Just who do you think you are?
All right, lady.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Well, those haymakers you landed weren't so bad either.
Yeah, well, we never could have landed them if he hadn't been half dead, though. Look, is there any rope around here?
Oh, yeah, there's some in the back of the car. In the trunk, I think it's open.
Yeah, I'll get it. Yeah, here. This ought to do the trick. We'll loop it around it like this.
Hmm.
And this here.
Help.
There. You wrap that scarf around his mouth in case he wakes up and tries to issue a complaint, will you?
Like this? This tight enough?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll finish tying this knot. Then we're all set. All right, I'll pick him up.
Okay, help you.
All right, open the car door and we'll give him a free ride to the police station.
You mean we're going to capture him single-handedly?
Yep, just the two of us.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
I never knew I could do anything like this before.
Yeah, well, you never had to do anything like this before. Are the keys in the car?
Yeah, in the lock.
Okay, hop in.
All right.
It's fine, push over now. Well, here we go.
I can't believe we actually captured him.
You know, for a lady who's not very sociable to convicts, you've certainly been doing a lot of entertaining.
I'll say I have.
Well, what's the matter?
I just happened to think. You're a convict, too.
Now, do you mean to tell me that after all we've been through together, you're going to let a little thing like that stand in the way of our happiness?
Oh, of course not. What?
I thought you'd be a convict. I was going to try and explain that again when all the excitement started.
Well, what were you doing poking me in the back with a pistol?
Oh, that was only a water pistol. I had to do something to get some clothes when you would listen to reason.
Then you're really Donald Van Stuyvesant. You live next door to me, 2 miles away.
That's right. And had I known you were my neighbor, I would have taken pains to love you a lot sooner.
Hmm, and I would have taken pains to love you a lot. Wait a minute, Wendy.
Wendy? Oh, so that's your name, huh?
Yes, isn't it awful?
No, I like it.
How would you like some music?
Yeah, kind of like that too, I think.
You like everything.
Say, I'll tell you what I'd like best of all.
What?
Have dinner with you tonight. That is, if you haven't eaten yet.
Oh, I haven't eaten yet. But Matthews will have it waiting for me when I get back.
Oh. Well, is there any chance of getting an invitation to share?
Mm-hmm. I think so. If you promise not to steal his spoons.
All right. I promise. But I don't guarantee not to steal something else. Something like this. Did I make a mistake?
Oh, no. You didn't make a mistake. I did. You're not the criminal type. No. You're definitely the romantic type. And I love it.
This is Don Amici, and the Chase and Sanborn Hour continues. The musical world is full of songs that extol the beauties of spring. But to my mind, there is no more effective and thrilling spring song than the one written by composer-pianist Rachmaninoff. Donald Dixon sings Floods of Spring.
White lies the snow, but floods of spring are brimming on. Quick drowsy shores will dash and flow, and rush and gleam and wildly roar. Oh, the land of love, they say. Spring sent forth her coming to provide. spring is here. The spring is here. And tranquil sunny days of May in a rosy
whenever I sit down to play the piano. And for that matter, they also laugh whenever Alec Templeton sits down to play the piano, but for an entirely different reason. For Alec is blessed with the ability to express his delicious sense of humor in music. No wonder, then, that it gives me so much real pleasure to be able to say, welcome, Alec Templeton.
You're very kind, Don.
No, not at all, Alec.
Well, in any case, now that you've had your say about me, I'm going to have mine about you, only musically. This is what I call a musical portrait of Don Ameche. First of all, the brisk, good-humored Don who opens the show. And then Don singing a popular song, Don playing in a tender love scene, in a musical sketch, and finally, back to Ameche, the master of ceremonies. Now, here it is, musical portrait of Don Ameche.
Swell, Alec. A very flattering likeness, I thought.
Thank you, Don. But that's not the impression that the audience are getting here. You know, a lot of my friends say they'd like to see a radio broadcast. Well, when they come, they sit so far away from the microphone, and this is my impression of what they hear and don't hear when the show goes on the air. Of Susie Mukul's Jam Tarts present the program that's broadcast in the studio of the station. How many of the studios are available broadcasting studio from the finest jam tarts ever tasted? Remember the broadcasting station. So get Susie Mookle's jam tarts today and remember the word song. And the first song is entitled I Never
I never dreamed because it all you never knew. Because I live this day. I often dream within my heart, my love.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Mr. William. The first performance on the air.
Well, that's a very funny and somewhat unhappy picture, Alec, but there's a brighter side, too. Think how much pleasure they get listening at home.
Well, it isn't always milk and honey at home, Don. You've seen these dial twisters at work, never satisfied with any one program, and this is what he gets on the radio.
This is the next one of this station, Kemp. Here is the weather forecast for the Baton Rouge.
Ici Radio Paris, voyez écouter maintenant.
Warm to my heart, for you know.
Presenting the Moonlight Sonata. It was officially reported this evening that Mr. Neville Chamberlain stated in the House of Commons,
oh, Dora, my darling Dora.
Do you know how much I love you?
Oh, but Francis, it cannot be so.
No, but don't you hear the sound of sweet music? Dora, if you would only come with me, the sights that we could see.
5,000 hogs and 3,000 sheep. Some hogs active, others slow. How is your stomach? If you have an acid stomach, why don't you enjoy Teddy White and his Hawaiian food?
Meyakul of the Pakwe, ah, Meyakul of the Pakaya, who we are, Meyak the Pakanikola, who Makoya, and the Paku with the ah.
Thinking of all the honey, young and all the money, healing and all the money, and
so.
You are now hearing Big Ben from London. This is the Templeton Broadcasting System.
Thank you, Alex Templeton. Thank you very much. Whether the girl of your dreams is blonde, brunette, or Titian, whether her eyes are blue, gray, or brown, in your own mind, she is, of course, the loveliest of lovelies. As the poets put it, she's that not impossible she. And as the songwriters put it, she's my ideal. I'd like to say it as the songwriters put it.
Will I ever find the girl in my mind, the one who is my ideal? Maybe she's a dream, and yet she might be just around the corner waiting for me. Will I recognize a light in her eyes. No other eyes reveal. Or will I pass her by and never even know that she is my just around the corner, waiting for me. Will I recognize the light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass her by and never even know that she is mine?
The stuff, Mr. Amici, adds the stuff. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, hello, Miss Rogers, my little ginger pie.
Hello, Charlie, my little sugar cane.
Ain't she sweet? Miss Rogers, don't you think Mr. Amici's singing is the Cats?
Well, Charlie, I'd say his singing is delightful to hear, but I certainly wouldn't call it the Cats.
Oh, vulgar, huh? Well, I'll put it another way. As a student of music, I would say that his crescendo and his fortissimo are very bravado.
It's easy to see, Charlie, that somebody's been feeding you a musical education while your mind's been out to lunch.
Yeah, you know, Ginger, Charlie's been taking piano lessons from Professor Templeton.
Piano lessons, Charlie? How nice.
Well, not very, no. No, but I'm getting better, though. Maybe I'll get so good someday I'll be able to accompany Mr. Amici.
What on, a scooter?
Yeah. Oh, please now, Miss Rogers, will you cut it?
I think you're quite right, Ginger. By the way Charlie's going, I don't think he'll ever be able to play.
And that's how?
Yes. He doesn't even practice.
Oh, who doesn't?
You don't.
Oh, maybe you're right.
You certainly didn't practice this afternoon.
Oh, yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I didn't hear any music coming from the piano.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Well, I was practicing rests and pauses.
Oh, you were? Well, stop resting and start playing.
Oh, gee. I don't know what to do. Bergen tells me to play the piano and the neighbors tell me to stop. I'm torn between duty and tutti.
Oh, Charlie, the neighbors really haven't complained, have they?
Yes, they have. They accused me. Mind you, accused me of malpractice on the piano. So I went over to Skinny Dugan's house to finish the lesson.
Does Skinny play piano too, Charlie?
Oh, sure, yeah, sure. He's already played before an audience, you know.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Where?
It was over at the House of Correction.
Yes. Was it a recital?
No, it was it's a reform school there.
Oh.
One of the best. It rates. So, you see, you should have heard me and Skinny play a duet the other day.
Oh, that must have been something to listen to.
Lovely.
What did you play? Classical?
Well, definitely classical, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, our recital consisted of Wagner, Mozart, and mistakes, I guess. And we scored our greatest success playing Elves in the Wildwood.
Elves in the Wildwood.
Yeah.
How did it sound?
Well, you know how elves are. Skinny and me were neck and neck for the first two pages. But then we got lost in the woods again. On the third page, we ran into poison ivy. But little soldiers that we were, there was no turning back.
Charlie, what are you talking about?
Hmm? I said, what are you talking about? Oh, well, you ought to know. You're saying it.
Oh, no.
And very dull, I might add. Well, what a duet that was, too. There we were, elves in the wildwood without a compass. When suddenly we came to a sign that said, Accelerando. So we gave her the gun. Well, believe it or not, we ran right through the finish. Broke the metronome, and the end gate fell off the piano. And that's how I got this bump on my head.
And nothing ever happens in the Grand Hotel.
No.
Toodaloo, Charlie.
Yeah, no, Miss Rogers, what's the matter?
Well, I don't blame her for walking out on you, Charlie.
What did I say?
Well, I'm beginning to understand your piano teacher, what he has to go through.
Oh,
I think I'll have to talk to him. Oh, Professor Templeton.
Oh, must you?
Yeah. Professor Templeton.
Yes, Mr. Bergen?
I don't wish to be interfering with Charlie's progress on the piano.
Progress?
Yes.
Oh, you're sweet, Bergen. I didn't say anything, just breathing.
All right, all right. Professor Templeton, about Charlie's piano lessons...
I want to talk to you about that, Mr. Mm-hmm. Bergen. I'm sorry you decided that Charlie ought to discontinue them.
Next, Professor, next.
I decided what?
What?
Is anybody 13?
Never mind that, Charlie. What were you saying, Professor?
Well, I thought it was a very noble gesture on your part to pay for the lessons for that other lad who liked music so much.
What other lad?
Professor, shall we join the ladies? Shall we take it on a lamb?
Quiet, will you? Professor, what are you talking about there?
Why, that poor boy that Charlie brought over the other day.
Oh, what's that, Charlie?
Hmm?
What is that?
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go and practice.
Practice?
Yeah, running.
Yeah. Just a minute, young man. Professor, do you mean that Charlie hasn't been taking lessons from you all this week?
Why, of course not. He told me that you said...
Charlie?
I ain't here.
Oh, yes, you are. Charlie, what is the meaning of this?
Well, you see, Mr. Bergen...
No, I don't.
Well, let me finish. It's this way.
Yes?
I don't think you'll go for that story. Better try a different attack.
I want the truth.
You won't like it.
I know, but nevertheless, I want it.
Well, Stinky's father wanted him to take lessons, see, on the piano.
Yeah.
So I sold him my lessons, see?
Yeah.
Generous, I admit.
Yeah. You did?
Uh-huh.
Well, all I know is that I have paid for your piano lessons.
Uh-huh.
And I expect to hear you play.
Yeah?
Not Stinky.
Oh. Well, I'll play, but it'll be Stinky. Professor Templeton, shall we play? What do you suggest?
Well, how about the Blue Danube?
Nothing doing. I don't want that.
No, he doesn't mind. He's fussy, too. Well, Bergen, the professor and I have composed a musical portrait of you.
Musical portrait of me?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
I thought that would get him. The all-oil, it works every time.
Well, I'd like to know more about this musical portrait.
Well, it's in three flats.
I see.
2 feet in a pocketbook.
Yeah.
It's more of a, I should call it a thumbnose sketch of you. A what? What? Oh, no. I mean, a thumbnail.
A thumbnail, yeah. All right, well, let me hear this portrait.
It's really more than a portrait. Yes, it's really more than that. It's a full-length bust. We start out with the top of your head, but there ain't so much there, so we play it legato, see?
Yeah.
Which means soft and smooth. I see.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah. Now, what tempo would you like to play it, Charlie?
Well, Bergen is a sort of a dreamer, so I suggest we play it in 6-bit time.
6-bit time?
Yeah.
3/4 time?
That's it.
Well, why?
Well, I don't know. It sort of fits your 75-cent personality.
Oh, I...
Let's give him the portrait, Professor, and we'll play it M.S.
M.S.?
Mitch Smalls, yes.
Are you going to play the piano, Charlie?
No, the professor will play the piano, you see, and I will play the sweet potato.
The sweet potato?
That's right.
Do you mean I've been paying $10 a lesson and you can play, you're going to play sweet potato?
That's the idea. Again, you'll see my name in lights in front of Carnegie Hall.
Yes.
Charlie Mickey McCarthy. Sweet potato virtuoso.
Yes, yes, yes. Whoever heard of a recital on a sweet potato?
Well, this will be more of a yam session. All right. A Swedish yam session.
Yes.
Ready, Professor?
All right, sound your eight, Charlie.
That's it. One, two, three, take it away.
Many things have happened these past few weeks, and here's one we want you to know about.
Families in this part of the country have found something new in their grocery stores. They've tried it, they've enjoyed it, they've told their friends about it. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the wonderful new silver package. Your grocer has it, and he can tell you how much his customers enjoy it. Because it's a wonderful blend. Yes, and because it's freshly roasted. Just think how important freshness is. Coffee is perishable. It can spoil just like milk or eggs. And that's why stale coffee can have a rancid, bitter taste. And so it's no wonder more and more people are changing to freshly roasted coffee, rich and delicious. And that's what Chase and Sanborn make sure you get. Here's how. Our great roasting ovens dot the map from coast to coast. And from the oven nearest your grocer, we rush him freshly roasted Chase and Sanborn dated coffee by our rapid fresh food delivery service. Now, the date he gets it is clearly shown on the gleaming new silver bag. Look for that date. It means freshly roasted coffee, just as the wonderful new silver package means a high-quality blend. And please remember, this rich, delicious, freshly roasted coffee in the new package doesn't cost you one penny more. There's no increase in price. Try it. Taste that magic flavor. When you do, you'll see why your friends and neighbors are changing to this rich, delicious blend. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package. Don't miss this treat. Buy a pound tomorrow.
Donald Dixon sings Avant de quitter ces lieux, one of the most brilliant of all operatic arias, expressing as it does Valentine's farewell in the second act of Gounod's Faust. Donald?
More.
passé. J'irai chercher la gloire au sein de ses amis. Le premier, le prix blanc au fort de la vallée. J'irai combattre pour mon pays. Et si lui Dieu me rappelle,
we come to the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. We'll all be back next week, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Donald Dixon, and Robert Armbruster in the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Our own Dorothy L'Amour will be back with us again, and our special guests will be Jackie Cooper and Alan Mowbray. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
Millions of people are planning to spend their vacation seeing the New York World's Fair or the San Francisco Golden Gate International Exposition. Join them. And while you're there, enjoy the special attractions provided by Chase and Sanborn. In San Francisco, the colorful House of Hospitality. In New York, the magnificent Standard Brands Building, featuring our great free outdoor marionette show with puppets of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Amici, and Dorothy L'Amour. Come in. You're always welcome. Next week, another big Chase and Sanborn hour. Jackie Cooper, Alan Mowbray, Don Amici, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Donald Dixon, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program was The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.